better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
You know, when Fidel Castro came into office, you know what he did? He had a massive literacy program. Is that a bad thing?
And they help people learn to read and write. You know what? I think teaching people to read and write is a good thing.
What is he, a communist?
He reads everything, you know. Ned's very well read.
Maybe he's just very well read.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Bernie has all of this loopy stuff in his background, saying things like, you know, women get cancer from having too many orgasms, or he's written about women's rape fantasies.
Look, this is a piece of fiction that I wrote in 1972, I think. It was dealing with gender stereotypes. Why some men like to oppress women, why other women like to be submissive. You know, something like 50 Shades of Grey.
That's the loony side of Bernie.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
So I was never a fan of Harvey Weinstein. The people that liked him were the Democrats. And he gave tremendous money to the Democrats.
It is my pleasure to give these Made in New York awards to the prides of Flushing, Bob and Harvey Weinstein.
Unchained and unstoppable.
The Paris Climate Accord. I'm the guy that came back after meeting with Deng Xiaoping and making the case that I believe China would join if we put pressure on them.
That guy's been dead 20 years.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other guy. Give me a look, though, okay?
What are you talking about? Don't you have any sense? Don't you have a brain? Are you so completely senile you don't even know what you're talking about anymore?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
I'm trying to figure out when the last time Joe Biden ran for the U.S. Senate was. I don't think it was any later than 2006. May have been 2004.
Time is an evolving paradigm.
Yeah, I've quoted the famous Kurt Vonnegut line from Slaughterhouse-Five about his hero of the novel, Billy Pilgrim has come unstuck in time. Once again, Joe Biden has come unstuck in time. And he's also come unstuck in what office he's running for. He's kind of confused a little bit. We'll see how he does tonight in the debate. Did you see the crowd that he drew last night? He was in a, when he was making these ridiculous statements about the
Senate run?
The 100 rounds in a bullet.
Oh, right.
He was in a high school.
God's name needs 100 rounds and a bullet and a clip that, with a gun you have.
Who can argue with that?
I don't need it because I don't know what that is. Wait, can we start my news off with a bang, Howie, and play his announcing he's running for Senate? I know it's in the introduction, but I could hear it again.
We've heard it a million times. You're right. I mean, it's the best sound cut of the day.
It is.
I mean, pre-debate. We're going to get some good ones tonight, I'm pretty sure of. But, okay, go ahead. Play.
You're
it.
The ones that sent Barack Obama the presidency, and I have a simple proposition here. I'm here to ask you for your help. Where I come from, you don't get far unless you ask. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other Biden. Give me a look, though, okay?
Vote for the other Biden.
Oh, it's so sad. My mom called me this morning, Howie, and she said he did it again, Grace. It was sad. It was pity in her voice.
Vote
it wasn't
for the other
anger.
Biden. It reminds me of those old races. You know, when the race for state treasurer back a few years ago in Massachusetts, they had two Cahills in the race. And sometimes they used to put if you were running against somebody named O'Neill, you would put another candidate named O'Neill. Then after he lost and you were reelected, you would get that O'Neill a job on the T or at the Edison or on the county or the city. You know what I mean? So, he's unstuck in time. Well, where I'm from, you got to ask for a vote. That's what Tip O'Neill used to say. I used to talk to Tip when I was in Congress. Oh, that's right. I was never in the House. I was in the Senate. Somebody get me some tapioca pudding here?
There's a lot of things that I understand mixing up. Even the states and the times and the places, I get that because you're traveling a lot and he's older. But forgetting
he's that traveling in time.
But Grace, he's caught all of those. Like, he'll say Iowa, then he'll correct himself and say Ohio.
Right.
But he said Senate, and he didn't correct himself to say president.
And when you're running for the highest office in the land, it's not hard to remember, you know?
It's like plastered on your campaign signs.
Sometimes I mix up congressmen, senators, you know, I'm a little new at some of this stuff, and I mess it up. But president, if I'm talking to the president, I know it's the president. It's kind of a big deal.
People are starting to say on the text line here, when is Dr. Jill? And again, she's not what you and I and George Frazier would consider a doctor. She's a PhD. When is she going to pull the plug on this freak show?
Doctor.
Give Joe a 100-round bullet and just send him home. Send him down to the range, to the shooting range, to have some
fun. How? That is not nice.
Why?
We cannot give him any sort of bullets or clips.
Hi, I'm Joe Biden, and I'm running for mayor of Keene, Vermont.
He can't be trusted to take his own medication. They've got to put it in those little capsule, those labeled boxes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, but he's going to be in charge of the nuclear codes. Remember when that was such a big deal when Trump was running, being in charge of things like that? Who do you want answering the red phone or whatever that thing's called? You want Joe Biden? He's going to answer, hey! It's me. What do you want? It's McDonald's. What do you want? He doesn't know what's going on, and I do feel kind of bad for him. I know you also put this in, Taylor, but this is really unbelievable, too. This is cut two. He says he worked with Deng... How do you pronounce it? Xiaoping?
Deng Xiaoping, I think, something like that. Deng Xiaoping. Xiaoping.
Okay, let's play this, Taylor, cut two.
And folks, one of the things I'm proudest of is getting passed, getting moved, getting control of the Paris Climate Accord. I'm the guy that came back after meeting with Deng Xiaoping and making the case that I believe China would join if we put pressure on them. We got almost 200 nations to join.
Now, see, here's the thing about that. The Paris Climate Accords were in, I think, 2010, 2011. Deng Xiaoping died in 1997. So he's the guy who went and talked to the guy in 2011 who talked to the guy who died in 1997.
He was
Joe
out
Biden.
Of office in 92.
Oh, and he left.
I'm Joe Biden. I'm running for U.S. Senate, and I see dead people. There's nothing he can't do at this point. His son
sees hallucinations of barn owls in front of his car in the Nevada desert.
That's
why shouldn't he be talking to dead people?
Yeah, you're totally
Maybe
right.
Maybe Hunter's been medicating him.
I don't know. His face looks very good for his age. He takes a lot of Botox, would be my guess. But again,
are you trying to say he's a beautiful man?
No, I'm just saying that, Nancy Pelosi, sometimes I wonder if Botox has effects that have not been really studied in clinical trials.
Well, speaking of health issues,
I stay away from Botox myself, Grace, and I recommend Dr. Carr recommends that you stay away from it, too. Just look at Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden.
I'm not making any promises.
The new name for Pelosi. The new name for Pelosi is Speaker Pelosi is Wiley Pelosi, though, by the way. Wiley, like the Roadrunner and the Coyote.
Harvey Weinstein rushed to the hospital after complaining of chest pains.
How predictable was this?
So he has been charged guilty of a criminal sexual act in the first degree and rape in the third degree. There was, I think, two other charges they could not prove.
The big charges. Being a predator, which I don't understand the New York state laws, but those were the big charges that could have put him away forever.
But the interesting thing about this is that a lot of the victims in this case, and the New York Post had a good story on this today, they didn't have perfect stories as far as, and it was going with the idea that there is no such thing as a perfect rape victim. Like, yes, some of these women did contact him after. Some of these women had nice exchanges with him after, but it doesn't mean that what they said happened didn't happen. And so they planted the seed of doubt in the jurors, and they ended up doing pretty well for themselves. But it's interesting because Hillary Clinton is saying how relieved she is that he's being put away, and so is Monica Lewinsky. So all different sides of the aisle coming together.
If she's so relieved that he's being put away, then why did she, if Ronan Farrow is to be believed, send her minions to try to shut up Ronan Farrow when he was working on the story in 2017?
You know, you'll have to contact Madame Clinton on that one. I'm not sure.
Somebody says that Biden's last Senate election was 2008. I went back from 72 to, you know, figuring that out every 6 years, and he would have been running in 2008. But is Delaware one of those states like Connecticut when Lieberman was running in 2000 for vice president? He was allowed to be run for two offices. Most states don't allow that.
It doesn't even matter either. It's like these are such basic things that he should have down. And it's really scary that he's gotten this far, and like you said, Howie, there's no end yet in sight. I don't foresee Joe Biden bowing out gracefully. They're going to have to take him down.
He was running against Christine O'Donnell in 2008. You know who she is. She was the witch. Maybe she put a spell on Joe. Is that possible?
Ooh.
5200. I'm Howie Carr.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Don't miss out on free meat from ButcherBox. Get $20 off your first box plus 2 pounds of delicious grass-fed, organic, free-range, hormone-free ground beef in every box for the life of your subscription when you sign up today at butcherbox.com/Howie. You won't regret it. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will Harvey Weinstein die in prison?
Yes, I would have to say he will.
28% say no.
All right. There could be another float in the Mardi Gras parade next year in New Orleans.
Again today, guys, a lot of news out of New York beyond Harvey Weinstein. Bill de Blasio arrives late to interview, refuses to look at post cover story on his gym routine. I wanted to talk about this because apparently Bill de Blasio has a 2-hour gym routine.
Yeah, that was the splash on the New York Post yesterday.
That is absurd. 2 hours a day? What is he, an Olympic athlete?
You know what? I think I would rather have him in the gym than in City Hall.
Yeah, well, he could do less damage,
right?
So I guess he showed up to this interview for Good Day New York, and he was 15 minutes late, as he always is. And the woman who was interviewing him said he refused to look at the story. She said he did not read the story. He had not seen the front page. I had it in my hand, and he said, "Lori, put it away because I have not seen it, and I don't want to see it." He also said he was not concerned about it. And then this is a really funny part. He claims that he works from 6 a.m. to midnight on weekends and holidays. Now,
right,
Howard, you're a little bit of a worker bee. Do you think that Bill de Blasio is putting in those hours on holidays?
No. I do not. I don't think he's ever put in those holidays. He is a really bad mayor. New York's had some really bad mayors, but he may be the worst one of all time. He may be even worse than, say, O'Dwyer, who was basically a tool of the mob back in the 40s and 50s. He's terrible. He's worse than Dinkins, for sure.
I would totally agree. I also want to play this cut. So Chris Matthews has been very vocal about his concern about Bernie Sanders winning the nomination. He thinks it's going to be like the fall of France. And he's had other comparisons about it that are worse. He's now apologizing to Bernie Sanders. Let's play cut 5.
Before getting into tonight's news, I want to say something quite important and personal. As I watched the one-sided results of Saturday's Democratic caucus in Nevada, I reached for an historical analogy and used a bad one. I was wrong to refer to an event from the last days, or actually the first days of World War II. Senator Sanders, I'm sorry for comparing anything from that tragic era in which so many suffered, especially the Jewish people, to an electoral result in which you were the well-deserved winner. This is going to be a hard-fought, heated campaign of ideas. In the days and weeks and months ahead, I will strive to do a better job myself of elevating the political discussion. Congratulations, by the way, to you, Senator Sanders, and to your supporters on a tremendous win down in Nevada.
Why didn't he call him comrade?
I just wish these people apologized when they made horrible comparisons to Trump and Hitler and all of these things. I've never heard an apology. And also, you can just tell that he's afraid that once Bernie Sanders becomes president, he's going to take away his house and everything else and start redistributing his money.
Well, Grace, last week he said he was afraid that if anyone like Sanders was elected, they would be dragging people out into Central Park and shooting them.
And by the way, I just want Bernie Sanders...
He didn't apologize for saying that, by the way, did he?
I just want Bernie Sanders to know that I'm really sorry, too, about anything I've ever said. Because I don't have a lot in my bank account, but if I could just keep it in there for a little bit longer, if he becomes president, that'd be nice. So I want that to go on record, too. And congratulations, Bernie. By the way, congratulations.
And you don't want to go to summer camp.
No, I do not want to go to summer camp.
As Bernie calls re-education camps.
By the way, guys, I know it's a weird time of year because a lot of places aren't having sales, really. There's not a lot of good deals out there because it's not Christmas. It's not Thanksgiving. We always have good deals. If you go to HowieCarShow.com, click store, check out our Cheap Bastard deals. Whether you want a restaurant coupon or gift certificate to the Still Bar and Grill in Agawam, whether you want...
We got a few left.
Whether you want a massage, whether you want to get a gift for someone and you don't really know what to get, go to HowieCarShow.com, click on store, get our cheap bastard deals. Because you know what? All year round, you can be a cheap bastard.
And the books and the t-shirts, too. Proud to be deplorable. The Kennedy Babylon. Read up on the Kennedy family saga. Sorted as it is. 600 pages. Two books.
Another trend in politics that we've been noticing is that Pete Buttigieg is sounding more and more like Barack Obama, whether this is on purpose or they just have a similar style of speaking.
I'm voting on purpose.
Okay, one vote for on purpose. Let's play this cut, Taylor, cut 15.
The way we do every other election, by giving it to the person who got the most votes.
Just a thought.
Brings us together.
This country
was built. It is a movement reaching into church basements and barbershops
and in our schools,
into universities and
with
union
our kids.
Halls.
And if the voice
we can
change
line up
the neighborhood,
then we can line up the city.
Shines
as a beacon around the world once more.
And this is our chance to answer that call.
Ugh. I have to say.
I didn't like it the first time.
I have to say, there's a lot of candidates up on those Democrat debate stages. And each one is worse than the next. But I think my least favorite of them all is Mayor Pete. Because he just seems so arrogant. He's like the Jim Acosta of presidential candidates.
I'm not going to select one over the other yet. I'll think about it again tonight. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back. 844-500-4242. We're going to take a break from the political scene for a little bit, or at least the Democratic debate. Political. And as you know, the Supreme Court last week allowed the Trump administration to impose a new so-called public charge rule, which would impose a means test on applicants for green cards. The liberal papers are calling it a wealth test, but it's really a means test. Can you support yourself? Why would the United States of America want to be bringing people into the country who are going to be public charges? I mean, that's always been the basis of our immigration law. Within recent years, you know, if you came into the country legally, you had to have a sponsor. And the sponsor had to sign a legally binding, or supposedly legally binding affidavit saying that you would not become a public charge. Back in the 50s, the law may still be on the books, but you had to go down to the local police station every 6 months and give a good account of yourself and describe why you weren't in trouble. And we had a lot less problems in this country with illegal aliens. And we had zero illegal aliens, or practically none, or legal aliens on welfare, unlike the millions, if not tens of millions, that we have on welfare today. So the screening process will now determine whether aliens that want to immigrate to this country would qualify for public benefits now or in the future, and would weigh against their eligibility if they did. So in other words, we're going back to the old system is what it amounts to. But so, of course, the Democrats and the liberal media are going crazy here. There's a lengthy story today in the Daily Mail, the largest UK, the largest English language website for news in the world, about Phoenix, Arizona, and how they used to be lining up, the illegal aliens used to be lining up at the welfare office at like 3-4 in the morning. The lines were so long to be getting just handouts. And now that this law has gone into effect, and also the fact that the border control is getting tighter, and Mexico is returning future welfare recipients to their home hellholes where they come from, that there's no more lines at the welfare office. I mean, is that great news or what? I call that winning. I call that winning. But so in Boston City Hall on Monday, yesterday, they had a teach-in. Advocates for the illegal aliens said the court ruling, and again, this is U.S. Supreme Court, this is what Sonia Sotomayor was so excited about and was claiming that the conservative jurors were politicizing the court. Again, once again, accusing the conservatives and the Trump Republicans of what they do. I mean, if anybody has politicized the courts, it's these liberals that were appointed by Clinton to a smaller degree, certainly Obama to a greater degree. The people he put on the federal courts, district appeals, and Supreme is just appalling. Appalling. So the advocates said the court ruling will open the door for the Trump administration to discriminate against classes of immigrants, such as those from poor countries. What country in the world wants to bring people into the country who don't speak the language and are going to be public charges? Why would we want to bring in? I mean, we have this structural deficit. We owe trillions of dollars as a government. We finally got food stamps under control. We've reduced the food stamp rolls by 7 million people. Why would we want to let in people who are immediately going to go on food stamps? People who can't speak English. People who have no skills. Why would any sane country want to be importing an underclass? You want to be making the country more prosperous, do you not? So you can reduce your underclass. Don't you want to have everybody as a productive citizen? A wealth tax. That's what they say. The rule, 3 years in the making. The reason it's been 3 years in the making is because all these Obama judges have tied it up in the courts. They're trying to legislate from the bench. Donald Trump was elected to get a handle on immigration and the related problem of immigration, where most of the immigrants go on to welfare and stay there, for that matter. The rule has raised concerns that the Trump administration is discriminating against certain classes of immigrants by building wealth into the screening. There's that word again, wealth. It's not wealth. It's just, can you support yourself? It's much more about penalizing poverty, a lack of wealth, lack of income, said an attorney during the event. It's not about what is it penalizing poverty?
They're acting like every person has to be Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah, that's
just don't need money. You know what I mean? It's not that you have to be rich. You just have to be able to not take handouts. That's all they want, yeah. Right?
Here's what the Trump administration said when they got the ruling in their favor. This final rule will protect hardworking American taxpayers, safeguard welfare programs for truly needy Americans, reduce the federal deficit, and reestablish the fundamental legal principle that newcomers to our society should be financially self-reliant and not dependent on the largesse of United States taxpayers. What's wrong with that? I mean, who are the public benefits programs for? Are they for just some anybody who rolls into the country and wants a free ride for the rest of their lives? Or are they for people who've actually contributed something to this society? You do know that in a lot of places, you have waiting lists for public housing. And if these people come in and they claim that they're refugees or they're asylees, they're seeking asylum from some mythical problem in their third world hellholes from which they came, they go to the top of the waiting list. So you could be a veteran. You could be somebody who's been paying taxes for 35, 40 years. You defended the country. And you will be passed over for an affordable unit in public housing for some Sarniev type. Look at the Sarnievs. I mean, in Boston, that's what we're most familiar with. These people came in from one of the Russian breakaway Muslim republics, claiming that they were in danger. They went on welfare. None of them worked. They had public housing, food stamps, just cash welfare. They got everything handed to them for 10 years, and then they were so oppressed that the sons started going back to the country they came from, the breakaway republic run by Muslims, to get terrorist training. And then they came back and blew up the Boston Marathon. One of them's doing life in prison in Supermax. The other one was died after the marathon bombing. He was 26 years old. He'd killed 6 Americans, including 3 Jews on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. Just cut their throats. I mean, this is, and we paid for everything, including the pipe, the pressure cookers that they used to make the bombs that they used to blow up American citizens and legal aliens. Why do we want these people coming in? We need screening. And, you know, they talk about, the Muslim ban. That's another related issue here, the Muslim ban. How dare he stop people from coming into the country? Now we have a problem with coronavirus. Does anyone have a problem with screening now? You think Trump was onto something maybe? Ann, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say I could not agree with you more about illegals being put at the top of the list. I have a friend who's been on the public housing list for over 3 years. And up until a year ago, she was able to see if she was moving, you know, where she was moving closer.
Yeah.
And then I had her check about 6 months ago, and she said, Ann, they won't tell me where I am on the list anymore. All they'll tell you is that you're on the list. And I said, oh, my God, they're doing that to hide that people are getting it cutting ahead of
right.
you for no good reason. It's disgusting. I mean, you can check it out yourself with the mass public housing. You call
no,
them up.
I know. Well, look, remember Auntie Zatouni? She was Obama's aunt. There were two illegal aliens, an aunt and an uncle of Barack Obama. The uncle had been in the country for 50 years. He'd always been an illegal alien. He'd always had a job. He was a drunk driver. He had a driver's license. And we asked him, why don't you take away his driver's license? They said, well, he's had it for a long time, so we can't take it away from him. Oh, okay. And then, but the worst case, at least he worked at a liquor store. He hung out at a bar and when he wasn't working in the liquor store. That was Uncle Omar. But Auntie Zatouni didn't even have a job. She lived in a public housing project in South Boston, Boston Housing Authority. An illegal alien in a public housing project, and she was on welfare. And they said, I know you're the president's aunt, but you're an illegal alien. How the hell are you on welfare in the United States of America? And you know what she said, Ann? God wants me to be on welfare. I mean... You know, how much can the American taxpayers pay for? How many people do we have to pay for? How many indigents from the third world?
How many anecdotes, Howie, are you going to keep spewing?
Yeah, that's what the former governor and bust-out presidential candidate from Massachusetts, Deval Patrick, used to say. These are just anecdotes. Don't worry about it. Illegal aliens kill a few people. They're you know, 10% of our welfare cards are fraudulent. Issued to people who don't exist. It's anecdotes. It's a little leakage. That's what he called it, leakage. Well, the country is leaking money to pay for all these people. Thanks for the call, Ann. Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi, Howie. Yeah, you're right on with the screening. I'm 100% sure of that. I did some time down in 2006 down in the New Mexican border working the fence line. During that time, I noticed a tremendous amount of land base that was there. We drove 2 hours to get there in the morning from Las Cruces on days. So an hour in and then a further hour to get down and work on it. Now, what I noticed was transition zones that if they're going to come in, they should be screened and we should be able to provide transition zones where they learn the language, learn what it's like to be a citizen, perhaps try to become a citizen, and during that time have meaningful work for them to do so they can be productive.
And yeah, I don't, you know what, Peter, I don't want anybody coming into the country that can't work. Do you? I mean, what's the point?
No, I don't.
You know, why? I mean, if we're going to give welfare to everybody in the world, I'd rather keep them in their own country so at least they're not going to drive drunk and kill me, you know, or get into the fentanyl business.
I agree, but there's agricultural land base down there that could be used to create produce. And many of them that come up here into Rhode Island, believe me, that's what they do. They're great at farming, and they get into the landscape businesses and whatnot. Not to pigeonhole them or stereotype them, but they do well in that line of work. So it could be productive. It could be something that's beneficial.
See, my feeling, though, Peter, is we got to discourage Americans from being on welfare. That's one great thing that Donald Trump has done with the booming economy. We've gotten a lot of Americans that we never thought would get off the couch, And we got to just get more of them because there's still millions of Americans who just aren't even looking for jobs. And if we could just get all the Americans back to work by making welfare a lot harder to get, I think we'd have a lot less need to import these people from south of the border. The problem with importing them from south of the border is they look around and they figure out this is a great scam we can work. Multiple scams, every kind of scam, you know, including the earned income tax refunds for income they never earned. I mean, there's just an unlimited number of scams that these illegal aliens work. And it's costing the country hundreds of billions of dollars a year. Thanks for the call, Peter Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
413 says, you know this ruling is only for immigrants, not those applying for asylum. We got to clean up all these systems. The asylum refugee program is just rife with fraud, as shown by the Tsarnaevs, letting Muslim terrorists come into the country, go on welfare, learn how to be terrorists, and then kill Americans. I mean, that's got to be cleaned up. This birth vacations, you know, where it's basically from the China, Korea area. They come in and they go to these birth hotels and they give birth to a U.S. citizen. And then the entire family comes over and you have chain migration. And it's just another series of headaches. I mean, this country is being overrun, and we can't take in everybody in the world. It's as simple as that. And one of the people from the city hall's chief of health and human services says, this is sending a message that says you're not welcome. Well, let me ask you this. Do you leave your house open at night when you go to sleep? Do you leave the door unlocked? So what if somebody comes into your house and just sets up shop in the living room and has no intention of working, doesn't speak the language, demands you learn to speak their language, provide them with food, clothing, liquor, medicine, everything. Are you going to invite somebody in? Why is the nation as a whole inviting millions of people in who are making just those demands? Sean, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Howie. How you doing?
Good.
If anybody has any questions, you know, this isn't new. This Trump's not doing anything that's not already written in the
right.
law.
Right.
If you have any doubts, look up the current immigration law. This is spelled out in there. There's nothing new.
I know. Well, what was new is the Obama judges, or one judge or two judges, maybe went to an appeals court. They were trying to stop this because it's they want to get more indigents into the country because they're Democrat voters. It's part of the fundamental transformation of America.
I heard someplace somebody said, yeah, well, they're not undocumented aliens. They're undocumented voters.
Yeah. Undocumented Democrats, Sean, to be more precise even. Thanks for the call, Sean. Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Howie, how are you?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, terrific. I wanted to talk to you. I'm a Vietnam-era vet. I'm retired now, and I love this country. Let me say something, this scenario real quick. What if you had a house, you built this house, and generations of your family sacrificed for this house? You did everything you had to do. You fought for the house, you protected the house, and you wanted to pass it on to your children. And then you had somebody break through your bedroom window, make themselves at home in your bedroom. They also required education, medical needs, housing, clothing, and take care of them and their families.
And they refused to work. How about that? Yeah, and they wouldn't pay any taxes. Yeah, no, that's the situation in so many of these cases. Thanks for the call, Jim. I'm Howie Carr.